بلاد المداد يا الله اسقينا بالمداد يا الله.
وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى. And to start again, I would like to thank Karima Foundation, organization, and everything they stand for doing what they do. And I was not asked to say this, so I mean it from my heart. So not a condition, like if you want to teach, thank us. it's like there's a lot of work going on behind the screens. And I think sometimes we underestimate everything it takes to do what people do. And people do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And they seek his contentment. So they put their private, personal time into these things. And they don't have to do it. It is their love for deen, their love for their brothers and sisters to do these things. So I believe that we, as if there are any outsiders here, I don't think everybody is Karima Foundation here. Everybody here? No. So I think that we, if we see people facilitating these kind of things, that it's always good to try to be a part of it. Meaning, how can we help? What can we do? It doesn't necessarily always mean it's money. No, it can be an effort of just putting the tables, doing whatever. They don't ask this. But I know when I used to organize things, very often we work with a sufficient amount of people, and you really want to do the best and give it the best, which they do always. So if you think of yourself as someone who would like to help and facilitate or whatever, and I'm not speaking in the name of Karima, I'm just observing, then that would be very nice. Because sometimes some of the things we see them going and rolling, the ball is rolling, but behind that ball, there are a lot of people pushing it. So this is an appeal, inshallah, for those who would like to invest some of their time, inshallah, even if it were to reply a mail, even if whatever, then inshallah, I think that will be a very good deed. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So we are going to continue about the name Al-Malik, Al-Malik. So the first thing I mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Malik, the king. And the king is the one who rules. Yani he rules. And his rule is fiqh. He wants us to be law-abiding citizens. He wants us to be people who hold on to his rules. And of course there is no Islamic world international rule where we can hold on to. But let us start with our own selves. Like fiqh is one of the most important things. And that seems to be very strange. If you believe that Allah is Al-Malik, is your ruler, then you need to learn his rules. Is that true or not? If you say Allah is the ruler, then you need to know which rules he wants you to hold on to. And if we now look at the majority of Muslims, they never studied fiqh from the beginning to the end. Contracts, marrying, divorcing, parenting, writing contracts, hiring, selling, renting, anything you can imagine yourself, there is an Islamic ruling connected to it. So if we now believe in the name Al-Malik, and that we are his subjects, that we are his slaves and servants, we need to serve him in a way that he wants to be served. The way he wants to be served is divided into two categories. We serve him through our hearts and emotions, and we serve him through our action and words. Actions and words, and hearts and emotions. And there are two categories, meaning that Allah wants us to what? To serve him through clean hearts and pure souls, free of envy, free of jealousy, free of hatred, free of discontentment with his decree. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that with our bodies, we are going to adhere, to hold on to the fiqh rulings, but also to the rulings of akhlaq. To the rulings of what? To the rules of a good behavior. That means that we need to study this. So believing in Allah as being our King asks from us that we study these things so that we can live the life the King wants us to live. Is that clear? So this is one of the ways that we are going to put the name into practice. It is by learning the deen. This is the only way that you can serve Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْبَدُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَلَا يُعْبَدُ بِالْجَهْلِ Allah is worshipped through knowledge. Allah is not worshipped through jahl. And this is why Imam al-Munawi rahimahullah azza wa jalla mentioned in his Fil Qadir, you can find it in volume 1, page 286, that he says that a alim with knowledge who does not put his knowledge into practice is a fitna. And a jahil, an ignorant person who worships Allah without knowledge is also a fitna. Because people look up to them. People look up to worshippers and people look up to scholars. But if the scholar has a bad behavior and the worshipper has no knowledge, well, then they are a fitna. So you need knowledge and deeds. Is that clear? So now to come back, if you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your King, one, you need to learn His religion. Two, you're not allowed to do anything in His kingdom which He does not allow you to do. Because He's not only the King, He is also the witness, and He will be the lawyer in a certain kind of way on the Day of Judgment. It will be His court. So He wants you to abide by certain rulings, and He observes you, He witnesses you, and then on the Day of Judgment, you will be in Yawm al-Din, and in His court, and then He will what? He will judge you, because He's al-Hakam. He's al-Hakam, He's the judge. And He's the accountant, al-Hasib. You see? So everything, it's Him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not favoring anybody above someone else. We are all khalqillah. And He will judge everybody equally. لا ظلم اليوم. There's no ظلم today, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. I do not transgress or oppress any of my what? Of my servants. So when we believe that Allah is al-Malik, then you have to know that you have to live the life He wants you to live. And that you go over the face of the earth knowing that nothing is yours. So this brings us to humility and gratitude. So when you know that Allah is the possessor of everything, like for example, Khayyam, I have a Lamborghini, for example, right? Which I don't have. I have one, you know, small ones? Even that I don't have. So anyway, so I have a Lamborghini. And there's a brother, I know that he loves Lamborghinis. I have two Lamborghinis and a Porsche, for example. I say, you know what, brother, take my car for the day. Excuse me, are you sure? It's just a piece of iron, take it. When you drive it, you will have a feeling of gratitude towards this person. So, mashallah, he's giving me his Lamborghini, the keys to his car. And I say, you know what? Just drive to France, on the Côte d'Azur, you know, in Nice, I have a villa. You can have it for 2 weeks. Here are the keys to my villa. All the time that you will be living in this villa, you will feel that my stuff, I'm not really referring to myself because I don't have this thing, that my favor is over your head, that my hand is over your head. Because everything you are doing is thanks to what this person who gave you the car and gave you the villa, and it will never escape your mind. Even when you wake up and you are there with your wife and your children, you're having breakfast, even the breakfast I am paying for. You're drowning in these blessings just for 2 weeks. So every time you wake up, you say, SubhanAllah, what can we do for the brother? What can we do for the brother? You know, SubhanAllah, we wake up in his house, look at the car in front of the door. You know, our children diving into the swimming pool. Of course, there's a swimming pool as well. Children diving into the swimming pool, everything is there. And then at a certain point, when you come to the conclusion that you can't thank him, you are shied away. Can't do anything. I'm just drowning in the blessings. Why do we always seem to have this with creation and not with the Creator? That means there is a connection that we don't seem to be making. And that's because we are disconnecting dunya from Allah. We are disconnecting blessings too often from Allah. So this is what is happening. Because we don't look at Allah with our souls. If we were to, then this coffee is a blessing. The fact that I'm wearing clothes is a blessing. That I breathe is a blessing. That I'm sitting, I even don't know how I sit. My back is straight. I don't know how I keep myself straight while I'm talking. I'm not even thinking about it. But when I want to lay down, I need to think. Laying down is actually easier. But that takes more effort. Exactly like a giraffe. You never ask yourself, like, that neck, how long it is. It's always upwards. It should require more effort to keep it up than down. But the muscle of a giraffe is created in such a way that she needs to put tension to bring it down, not to bring it up. Going up, it's kept like this. And going down, it needs to force it to bring it down. You know, these are one of these beautiful things, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates His creation. And this is also why an elephant doesn't have a neck. Because no neck would be strong enough to keep that head on that body. You see? So instead of having this long neck, allowing her to go down to eat, Allah gave it a trunk so that it can eat from everywhere without using a neck. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in Miftah Darul Sa'adah. 3 volumes with Tahqiq of Shaykh al-Halabi, yani where he explains how animals were designed perfectly and how they are in harmony with the environment they are living in. So now to come back, I'm digesting food, whatever I'm doing at the moment, I don't know how to do it. When a child at the beginning, when he needs to go to the toilet, it cannot stop it. The moment he becomes 3, it says, I have to go to the toilet. It doesn't know how to stop itself from not urinating in its pants, but it doesn't. All of a sudden. How does it stop it? It doesn't know. It just feels, I have to go. And when it arrives at the toilet, it even doesn't know how it works, that now, okay, I can do it. So the King is doing so many things for us. It's incredible. I mean, the King is the one that organizes everything. Like I was today, I was with the brothers who came from Holland, and I asked them for a certain kind of biscuit anyway, which I usually have with my coffee. And I said, you know what, I'm going to write a bit or whatever. And he said, okay, I will get it. He came back with 2 things I never ate in my life. which I'm not blaming, not at all. It was my fault, I didn't explain it correctly. If I would have explained it correctly, would have come back with the correct thing. So the fault is me. So anyway, so I said this and that, and it looks like this, it looks like that. And he comes back, gives me 2 things. I say, it doesn't even look like what, I never saw this in my life. I never tasted it in my life. But now Allah the King, when you really think about it, that what I had in my hands was showing me that Allah is al-Razzaq. Even that what I want to eat, if Allah doesn't want it to come to my plate, something else will come to my plate. You don't decide over your risk. You don't decide. So now I was thinking, why is this happening? Well, one of the reasons is so that I can talk about it in class. But if you really think about the blessings, I was thinking, look, the sugar, maybe they took it from America. The nuts that were in this cookie maybe came from Italy. The driver maybe came from Poland. He left his family 2 or 3 weeks just to bring me my nuts, to bring me my walnuts or whatever, to bring this sugar in his truck. His wife was maybe angry with him. Are you gone again? He says, yes, but you know, I have things to bring, you know. SubhanAllah. So when you think about it, even a pilot with a plane, cargo plane, maybe brought some things. The seller in the shop, the one who was selling in the shop, maybe woke up at 4. Maybe he came from High Wycombe to London to work, 40 minutes travel. He woke up, they were working, they were paid, all of them were paid. If I were to ask people to make 1 cookie for me, it would cost me £100. With the working hours and taking by plane and everything. And now I just had it by accident. You know, even the fish you have on your plate, it was swimming in the ocean for you. I mean, so many fisher boats. One fisher boat is there, and the fish that they capture goes to Indonesia. Another one, this is for Russia. So many ships catching these fishes. And your fish was swimming. No, that's not me, no. You know, it's guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fishermen, maybe one fell into the ocean. So there were waves, they were seasick. They left their families behind. Maybe he had a newborn while he was fishing fish for you. Oh, can I have a look at him by camera? On camera, oh, mashallah, my new baby. And he's on the ocean, you know, struggling with the wind and everything. For one thing, then the driver brings it from Holland to the UK. So that you would be invited by someone to eat this fish that was created for you to eat. How are you going to thank the king? So the king is the one that organizes all of these things. Now people are fishing for us, we don't know. Now there's somebody driving a truck somewhere in a country. Now some people now maybe in Cuba are working from 4 o'clock in the morning just to have your coffee beans ready, you know, at Sainsbury's within 5 days. They are taking it now, they're struggling. They're in pain maybe. Maybe they're sick, but they say, I don't want to give up because when I give up, I get fired. So he's maybe at this moment sick, trying to find your beans. All of this is going on. Who is doing it? Al-Malik, the king, brings everything together. We just see the results of a divine, figuratively speaking, puzzle. It's ajeeb. When you really think about it, it's so ajeeb. And this is in everything we have. How many people work for this here? How many for this here? Even a toothpick, the little thing. A factory was built for it. People are working day and night. Just that you go like, I got something between my teeth. SubhanAllah, 1 second. Gone. People were working for hours. People were driving cars or flying planes for this. So when you understand this, then you are humbled. Because you know that everything you have has been given by the king. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know this, nothing is small. When something comes from your beloved one, it's big, no matter how small it is. You see? When you receive something from a beloved one, it's worth more than gold. Isn't it? So, and this is when you know that Abu Hassan al-Shaghili, rahimahullah azza wa jal, he said, whenever someone gives you something, do not accept it until you remind yourself that the true giver is Allah. Don't accept it. Otherwise your heart will be connected to people. Thank people. But look at them as being a sebab, the means through which Allah gives you. So the true giver is Allah and people are means. So when you give someone something, you will actually thank Allah. Because you say, Ya Rabbi, really? Did you choose me to be a means through which you want to give your rizq to people? Ajeeb. If you provide for your family, this is the way you look at it. You say, Ya Rabbi, subhanAllah, through me you keep these children or my wife or my husband, whatever, alive? Through me? It's ajeeb. So, when you know that Allah is the king, you know that everything is chosen. That he, you know, that everything, behind everything you have and everything you see, there's a bigger story. A story that we can never encompass with our minds. Because it's the work of the king. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day he does new things. Every day. All the things that are happening. You know, we believe in the laws of nature, but we also believe that they are driven by Allah. The sun sets and the sun rises. Yes, we have a scientific explanation. And the scientific explanation that is not in contradiction with the fact that Allah does it. Because science is just showing us, explaining us what is happening. But it doesn't explain who makes it happen. Because every movement is in need of someone who makes it move. That's clear. Every reaction was started with an action, isn't it? So, action, reaction. So anyway, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, every morning when, subhanAllah, the sun has to come up, it says, Ya Rabbi, do you want me to rise from the east or you want me to rise from the west? Because one day the sun will rise from the west. So it is not just a mechanical thing going on. It is the king every day. Here is the sun, here is the moon. And one day it will be different to show the people that he is the king. If I want day to be night and night to be day, it will be. If I want people, I want the hands of people to talk. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم. Today we seal their mouths and their hands will talk to us. He's the king. So he decides. So now, When Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire, Allah showed that he was king. Ya nar, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, be peaceful and cold for Ibrahim. Cool, not cold. And Ibrahim said, yani, these were the best days of my life. Mufassirun say, I never ate better and felt better than when I was in the fire. They wanted him to burn away in the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned his fire into a paradise. Because he's king. He can do what he wants. He's not submitted to the laws of nature. Like, what was it? 57 kilometers an hour. If you crash, you're dead, right? If you land with 57 kilometers an hour, they say you're dead anyway. But then you see these people I told you before in the Guinness Book of Records, that a stewardess that fell out of a plane or crashed with the plane from 10,000 meters high, boom, she didn't have a scratch. Then they said, yes. Another one who was struck by lightning 7 times. In the Guinness Book of Records, once in his toe, once in his shoulder, once in his leg, he didn't die. So they attributed to him. Said, you have to be in the Guinness Book of Records. You were struck by lightning 7 times. He said, no. We are astonished that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck you 7 times and showed that He can keep you alive. Because He's your king. You see? So anyway, we have Al-Malik and Al-Malik. So the first thing, barakallahu fik, as I said, when you believe that Allah is Al-Malik, one, you need to learn the rules of fiqh. Yes? Two, you need to take control over your heart and your body to purify them and give everything back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the very day that you were created. Three, when you know that Allah is king, you know that everything has been organized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you know that you are drowning in His blessings. Why? Because we are slaves. And a slave hasn't got any right. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The human being hasn't got any right apart from one: garment hiding his aura, a roof above his head. Even under a bridge you have a roof above your head. I don't say this is good for that person, but a roof over his head and one bite of food which keeps his or her back straight. Meaning that everything which we have more than one garment, one bite a day, and a roof over our head is an extra. They are all extras. To be quite frank, Allah is king, we are subjects, right? We are slaves. If we look at our lives with everything we possess, do we look like slaves? The kings of 200 years ago, they would envy us. We have better mattresses. They had all these candles around them, but they didn't have sufficient light. Social care was a mess. Everything. And now you see that we, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, we sleep on better... we have luxury they never had. Maybe they had more gold. But the standard in our lives now is higher, but yet we feel poor. So when you know this, look at everything you have. And know that these are extras. You have two pair of shoes, they're extra. Barefooted would be the norm. One garment, nothing else. You see? So how? Anyway. So this is how you feel when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is king. You are going to be grateful for everything you have. And this is why Nasir bin Sa'di rahimahullah just said, before you complain about what you don't have, make sure you have thanked Him for everything you do have. Before you complain about what you don't have, ensure that you have thanked Him, express your gratitude for everything you do have. And then the second step, thank Him for everything you don't have. Thank Him for everything you don't have. And what do they mean by this? One, all the afflictions you don't have, all the diseases you don't have. Thank Him. For everything you don't have, this is one of the meanings. And another one is thank Him for the materialistic things you don't have. Because if you don't have them, it's only because Allah knew that they wouldn't be good for you. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, like Ibn Rajab rahimahullah azza wa jal mentioned in Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, he said, Allah says, For some of my servants, nothing befits them but poverty. And if I would give them richness, لَكَفَرُوا, they would become disbelievers. And for some, nothing is suited but richness. And if I would have given them poverty, لَكَفَرُوا. For some of my servants, nothing besuits them but health. And if I would have made them sick or given them sickness, لَكَفَرُوا. And for some, nothing is suited but sickness. And if I would have given them health, لَكَفَرُوا. And for some, knowledge is besuited for them. If they would have been ignorant, لَكَفَرُوا. And for some, ignorance is better for them than knowledge, because if they would have knowledge, لَكَفَرُوا. You see? So thank Him for what you don't have. And I know it's not easy, you know. When you look at reality shows, you look at the amounts of money that is being given to people, what people make sometimes in a minute is more than we make in a year. And then sometimes it might be discouraging. Sometimes people start to dislike the way they look. Because on social media, one, we've got these filters, isn't it? You have a filter, you take a picture, all of a sudden you don't have a skin anymore. You don't have a skin. You can even change the white of your eyes. There are apps. White of your teeth. Even your eyebrows. Just eyebrow app. Ear app. Really. Six pack app. So they have everything. Even muscle shaper app. So now everybody is fake. They're out there. And the people who want to stay true to their natural state, they look at these people and say, are they in paradise already? Look, everything, they have nothing. Even people on television, everything is like, it's all fake. But now what the problem is, when you are exposed for too long to this fake impression of what a human being looks like, then you will compare yourself to them and you will consider yourself not to be good, not to be beautiful. And then you have the Botox disease. Botox everywhere. Then you have, I'll remove your belly in 3 months with cold, I don't know, a cold thing ironed over your belly and all the fat goes away. Just go to the gym or eat less fat. It will come back. So you see that they found everything. Now the nose. The nose is a bit, no, my nose is a bit. And the problem is even practicing people start doing this because they compare themselves to fakeness. And what we forget is these people are not beautiful. The beauty is, yes, you will get older. You will have some things going on here, which is normal. And the shaitan promised that he would do this. He said, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will take over and I will command them and I will lead them to changing and altering and transforming Allah's creation. They will definitely change Allah's creation. When you know that Allah is al-Malik, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right over that body and that you're not allowed to do with it what He doesn't want. Of course, there are exceptions. They say when your body is in a state where it is an abnormal state. Like for example, you were born and your ear is hanging down, for example, completely down. Then our scholars say that you are allowed to undergo an operation to put your body in a state which usually a body finds itself in. Is that clear? So when it is to bring it to a normal state, your bone and your nose is entirely flat like this, for example, or an accident, it's entirely flat, you can bring it to a normal state. Okay? So our scholars say if it's to bring a body to a normal state, then it is allowed. Okay? Because otherwise, people will can even get traumatized. Like for example, you have some children that were given antibiotics when they were babies, and then when they grow up, they have their two front teeth. They are not complete. They are very rough, and they are like very yellow. It's a disease. It's only these two teeth due to antibiotics, because they contain a certain kind of sugar and it can affect it. This disease has a name. All the other teeth are white. Even when they lose their two teeth, the second, 2 teeth, when they're adults, will have the same thing. Now, are we going to tell them you have to say like this? No. We say you're allowed to do things which make it appear normal, because this is not the normal standard in life. Is that clear? So now to come back. When you know that Allah Jalla wa Ala is Al-Malik, you're not allowed to do anything with your body which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't allow you. So no Botox, no pumping up the lips, no, you know, these strange mask faces where everything is stretched and that when you smile you don't even see when people are smiling. They have no facial expressions whatsoever. Not allowed. Haram. This is 100% clear cut. Haram. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Malik Jalla wa Ala. Okay. Do we have any questions about what I have said? Okay, then I continue. And yes. Yes. Yes.
Does that entail being happy with it, or can you be sad about it and content?
Okay, that's a very good question. Like when our ulama say that contentment, or let us say sabr with the decree, can be divided into four categories. Okay, sabr, when things happen that you don't like, are divided into four categories. The first one they call at-tasakhut. The second one they call a sabr, and I will explain each one of them. The second one they call a sabr. The third one they call a rida, and the fourth one they call a shukr. So when things happen, one category is haram, the following three are halal. The first one is a tasakhut. Things happen, and you have anger, and you have expressed this anger with your heart, with your tongue, or with your what? Body. Like for example, someone says, yeah brother, subhanAllah, you just, you know, I wanted to book a ticket, but subhanAllah, to Hajj, but it just didn't happen. When I called, they said the last, you know, seat on the plane is gone. So now you are angry. Some people are angry then. See, they go like this, subhanAllah. And then they say subhanAllah, but at the same time, they have no anger. SubhanAllah. This here is what the ulama call tasakhut. This is haram. So an expression of discontentment in a way that is not suiting for a Muslim is a tasakhut. Or you say, how can this be? Why me? SubhanAllah, I just wanted to go on Hajj. This is tasakhut. This is tasakhut. Always the same. Here I go, I leave on time, and who is in a traffic jam? Me. This is tasakhut. This is expressing the anger. Okay? The problem is if you start concentrating too much on everything which goes wrong, you will really think that everything goes wrong in your life. Okay? So at the end, you become frustrated and maybe aggressive. So, that's the first one was with the body. Second one was with what? The mouth, and you speak. And the third one is in your heart. You have something in your heart against Allah's choices in your life. Ya Rabbi, subhanAllah, and it can't be true. And you really start thinking very negative about what Allah does in your life. These three are haram. They are not halal. Then the first lowest category we call as-sabr. And as-sabr in the Arabic language means habsun nafsi, means retaining yourself, meaning refraining yourself, keeping away, yani you keep your mouth, your body and your heart away from the first category. Is that clear? So it's not that you like what is happening, not yet. You want it to go, but you say, I will not think negative about Allah, speak negative about it, or do something with my body which is negative. We compare it to someone being on the water and having to hold his breath until he comes back to the surface. So you say, okay, I'm here in the test. I will, you know, not keep my breath. I will keep my heart, my mouth, and my body away from breathing. Because then water comes in and then it's done. Okay, so khalas, you stay like this. The third one is a rida. Yani you are content with Allah's decree. You say, I know that Allah, this is already a very high level. On paper it's very easy. That you say, Ya Rabbi, whatever you choose in my life, alhamdulillah, if this is what you like. But not like, okay, if this is what you like, then do it. No. If this is what you like, Ya Rabbi, alhamdulillah, give me insight, I accept it. and I will not be a rebel, and I don't want it to go. As long as it's there, I will be content. But when it's gone, I will be happy. You see. Then the last one is a shukr. And a shukr is that you thank Allah for what goes wrong in your life. You thank Him. Because you know that whenever He makes you go through an affliction, it is only to give you better. If He takes away something you like, it's to give you something better in exchange. If He withholds something from you which you would like, it's because He wants to give you something better. Or it is because He wants to instead protect you against something which is more important than you getting that what you want. So you thank Allah. And subhanAllah, our scholars say, pious people do at the beginning of a test what foolish people do at the end of a test. Like sometimes, you know, and the example I give is someone, a brother or a sister, the brother says, okay, this is really the perfect sister that I want to get married to. So, and he says, Ya Rabbi, please, I know it's better for me. Even in our istikhara, we're not very honest. Even in our istikhara, we try to force it. Ya Rabbi, please, I know it's better, but if it's better for me, then give it, but I know it's better. You know? So we are trying to, you know, do these strange things. You know, so we you keep on asking. Sometimes Allah will give you. Because you're not doing istikhara. You're actually choosing. And you're asking, you want it, there you go. But sometimes Allah keeps it away from you. You say, Ya Rabbi, please, Ya Rabbi, please, Ya Rabbi, please, Ya Rabbi, please, Ya Rabbi, please. And then all of a sudden one day you wake up, Ya Rabbi, please. Your mother said, stop asking, she got married yesterday. Khalas, sister is married. Now the first thing, when people have weak iman, and they don't understand that now no longer you are allowed to regret it. From the moment that person gets married, you're not allowed to have something in your heart. You understand? Like, subhanAllah, why him? What is going on with you? Are we out of our minds? Like, why the brother? I would have been better. So, inshallah, they don't start making dua against them. Oh Allah, separate them. Some people go this far. So now, after 5 years, let us say that a sister asked for a brother, for example. And after 5 years, the brother she wanted to get married to, she actually hears that one, he cheated on his wife, and two, he beat up her so hard that she's in hospital in a coma. And you were always asking for this person to become your husband, or for that woman to become your wife. And then is the moment that you will say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah didn't give me what I was asking. You don't say, Alhamdulillah, that didn't happen to another person. You're saying, Alhamdulillah, Shukran Ya Rabbi. You always think about it. So you say, Shukran Ya Rabbi, thank you, my Lord. And this is exactly what people do. How often did we see that what we disliked actually brought us to that which is better than what we wanted? Very often. And someone with trust in Allah, knowing that Allah is the King, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides which is better on the planet Earth, because the planet Earth is His, the moment something happens which you don't seem to like, you already thank Allah. You say, thank you, Ya Rabbi, I thank you now, for I know that when you will unveil the reason why you are keeping it away from me, or the reason why you are making this happen in my life, I know that I will be more happy than that what I would like you to give me. So this is why people with a sound soul do at the beginning of a test what people with a foolish mind do at the end of a test. It's bitter. A test is always bitter. But we take our medication, even if it's bitter, because we know that the cure comes with the bitterness. So once again, we have the proofs from life. We take it, we don't like the taste, we say, Alhamdulillah, my fever will go, or my pneumonia will go, or whatever. My lung infection, or whatever. Okay? So this is in brief, how the name Al-Malik, and these are some of the things you should know, that about the name Al-Malik, you can talk for a year. And I'm not exaggerating. Because every name is limitless. If we would restrict the name, any name of Allah, to our explanation, we would claim to be saying that Allah's names are limited to our understanding, and that our understanding of His name would actually be limited, so also His names. And that's not true. Each name is limitless. The explanation is limitless. Okay? Any questions? Bismillah. So how are we going to bring the name into practice? One. That's for you. It's not for me. One. Very good. Two. Yes, that were the four things. But the name al-Malik, how are we going to bring it into practice? One. Yes. What? Gratitude and humility. Because we see that we drown in blessings and we look at the greater picture of the puzzle that is being... Now, two. Yes? Fiqh, exactly. Three. Yes. He is the possessor of everything we possess. We don't possess anything for real. It's temporarily. And this is why we're not allowed to do with it what we want. We have to do with it what he wants. You. When you go like this, it's like you're waiting for something.
Thank Allah for what goes wrong in your life.
Thank Allah for what goes wrong in your life. Subhanallah. Yes, it's true. Yes.
To control your mind and your body so you go back to Allah in the same state that he
said. Yes, very good. Control your mind and your body and your heart to ensure that you go back in the same state as you were given birth to, without sins and anything, to go back to Allah in that state. Someone else? Excuse me, where? Yes. Supplication, exactly. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything. What else? Yes, exactly. Not only fiqh, but the deen. Yani because you need to live with your heart and your body in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to. Then what did we say about 99 names? Does Allah have 99 names or does He have more? So what does it mean? These 99 names are?
Enough to get to paradise.
Yes, are keys to get to paradise. What does ahsaha mean? Man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. What does ahsaha mean? That were four things. Say it louder. Memorizing. Practicing.
Understanding.
And supplicating. Yes. With each name of Allah. So that's the last thing for today. During this week, we are going to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His name Al-Malik. Also, you are going to keep this in mind. Like when you drive your car, you look at the sky, you look at the trees, you look at everything, you're going to tell you this is Allah's. And I have to live under His sky and in the midst of His trees and in the midst of the family He gave me, my wife or husband, my children, they are His. If I wrong them, I wrong His possession. This is how you should look at it. When you make somebody cry, you wronged Allah's possession. So you will be asked about it. When you stress with them, you're stressing with Allah's possession, even with your own self. If you don't give yourself enough sleep, and everybody, it depends, or enough rest, or whatever, or sufficiently amount of healthy food, then you are also oppressing yourself. And you are not allowed to oppress yourself, because you are Allah's. You see this? And you're not allowed to complain, that was another one, when Allah does something in your life, because you sold yourself to Allah. So you have nothing to nothing to criticize Him about or ask Him about. Because Allah says, and that's the last thing I say, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ. He is not asked about what He does. وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. But rather they will be asked about what they do. So in brief, that's it, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this beneficial. Ameen. So live with the name of the King.